Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people.
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course. Tuttle.
Yeah.
Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle.
Everything's a goddamn debate. All right, guys, greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. I know it's been a little bit of time. I know a lot of people are like, oh yeah, Tuttle, he's fallen off. He has absolutely lost the vigor to do a daily radio show. You know, after Tuttle got so fucked up, after Tuttle ruined his whole radio career, He came back and he was doing a daily podcast. He did a daily podcast for 6 straight months without missing a day. He did it even on Saturdays and Sundays, but as of late, he has absolutely fallen off. You know what? I could actually see why you guys would actually think that. Because I have fallen off a little bit. I have. I'll be straight up. This is just me. I want to take this show today because if I'm being honest, I didn't even plan on doing a show today. If I had it my way, I would probably not do a show until the beginning of the year. But you know what? I get that way. And I know that I can be like some whiny ass bitch all the time. I haven't gotten a single comment in the chat room. And I even need to find out and do a mic check because my producer hasn't even given me a Lima Charlie on how it sounds. So give me a second. I want to see how it sounds. Oh, hold on. Give me a second. All the time. I haven't gotten a single comment.
Oh, yeah. It's sounding good.
Okay, so it is sounding good. So what I'm trying to say is that I was not even going to do a show tonight, but then my producer, Vulture, was like, oh, I got a guest for you. And I'm like, all right, cool, I'll do it. And I don't know why I do this, because there's a lot of stuff, and I could talk about all this stuff, but all of you guys are going to think I'm nothing but a whiny bitch and stuff. And I'm not. I miss doing the live terrestrial stuff. I know everybody wants to say that, like, terrestrial radio is dead. Yeah, it is. It is dead, but there are a select few of radio broadcasters, radio personalities that are still making it happen. Are they also on other platforms and stuff? Yes, they are. I mean, even if you look at the Monsters in the Morning at Real Radio 104.1, they are on terrestrial. They're doing well. They still get a lot of advertisement and stuff. But they're also looking and they're branching out into other avenues when it comes to streaming. Facebook, YouTube. I don't think they're on Twitch. I know Bubba. I mean, let's look at Bubba. Bubba is still on terrestrial radio. He is. But if we're all being open and honest, Bubba is making most of his money off of Twitch, YouTube, Patreon, whatever like market or streaming platform that Bubba's on. He's making a lot of money off of that because he was so far ahead of the game. No matter what any of you guys want to say, And this is not me just bending over and just kind of, kind of eating Bubba's BH out. I'm not doing that. But say what you want, Bubba's been way so far ahead of the game. And a lot of you guys, a lot of you motherfuckers out there in terrestrial radio was like, oh, Bubba, he's so desperate. He's so desperate. He's having to go to all these internet platforms and everything. Oh, and trust me, I know a lot of the radio personalities that used to call out people that were doing podcasting and stuff. I remember Calta. Calta used to call out everybody that was not on terrestrial radio and stuff. He used to call them out all the time. And yeah, hey, what up, Biggie? What up, Biggie? Yeah, I'm back. And you know what? I'm going to get into a regular schedule, Biggie. Because I'll admit, it's not fair. It's not fair. And I know that, I'll admit, I got a lot of problems going on, people. I got a lot of stuff on my mind right now. I got a lot of shit going on. I got a lot of bad stuff going on in my mind. And you know what? At the same time, Iggy, you know, you're saying you're back. And Iggy, I know you don't mean that in a bad way at all, but that is exactly how I feel about the whole situation. Because, like I said, I didn't even want to do the show tonight, but I knew that I had a guest. And now that I'm doing it, if I'm being honest, I feel fucking great. I feel great. And I got to get that into my mind and just realize that this is my happy place. This is where I love doing what I'm doing. I know that didn't make any sense. This is where I love doing what I'm doing. That made absolutely no sense at all. But I did not want to do the show tonight, and I did it, and guess what? Now you can't get me to shut up. I got a guest coming up at 7:30. Let me see. That's the other thing. I'm World Cup crazy right now. This is the, what up, Fish on J? Fish on J says, yo, yo, yo. I'm glad. So I got Fish on J, Iggy T. Fish on J, Iggy T. Fish on J. Well, what I was trying to say, also, you don't know what is another big distraction is this World Cup. This World Cup, man. This World Cup has been really, really a big distraction. And Iggy, I've been rooting for Canada. Canada is in the World Cup for the first time in a while. But, tomorrow, the United States is playing Iran. Yeah, you know what? And I didn't even pull any news stories for tonight. I got a lot of news stories from last week that I had already pulled, and we'll get to them. If you hear a news story that I play tonight and you're like, oh, you already played it, just hit me up in the chat room and be like, oh, you already played it. I know you lost. But tomorrow we're playing Iran. Is it Iran or Iran? Iran or Iran? Because you want to know what the biggest thing that really... There are a couple of things that happen because we're playing Iran. We're playing them tomorrow. The United States have to win against Iran or Iran or Iran, whatever, how you pronounce it. But do you realize that some of the media at the World Cup was calling out some of the players on the United States team for saying, it the wrong way. That's why I keep saying Iran or Iran or Iran. How do you say it? So they were saying that it was disrespectful that the American players were mispronouncing it on purpose. I don't even know how you're supposed to say it. Is it Iran? Iran? I really don't know. But what I'm trying to say is, so they're just trying to stir up a lot of shit. Now, the other thing that's going on that Iran or Iran is bitching about this is that they are, they've already like put it out there. They've signed a petition trying to get FIFA to eliminate the United States of America from the final game. They're trying to get rid of them on the final game because on the United States men's national team, the USMNT website, because they put up the Iranian flag because they didn't put up the symbol for Allah or whatever it may be. And I'm sure, like, see, I might even get in trouble for just even talking about this, that they wanted to get pissed off. They put up the Iranian flag. And now they're saying, oh, well, the United States is being racist, or they're just trying to undermine the Iranian government. I'm like, this is soccer, man. We're just talking about soccer. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, it's football. No, I'm an American. It's soccer. I'm gonna call it soccer. It's soccer. But now, like, they're all talking about this stuff. Oh, where were you guys when the Iranian soccer team did not sing along to the Iranian national anthem? Because of all the atrocities that are against women right now. I mean, even your own soccer players didn't agree with what's going on and everything. I mean, this, I don't even understand why it's gotten to this point. But also at the same time, it's going to be a big black eye on the face of American soccer if they don't win. A lot of people are like, oh, well, they should just go for a tie and stuff. Well, yeah, a tie is not going to do the United States any good. They have to win. And if any of you guys are not soccer fans there, or football or soccer, a lot of you guys, if you don't know anything about that, there's something that's called parking the bus. And everybody knows that's what Iran or Iran is going to do. They're going to park the bus tomorrow. They don't have to win. If they tie, see, that's the thing about it is, like, all they had to do is tie. They don't even have to win tomorrow. United States, they got to go into this match. They've got to win. A tie does them no good at all. So, yes, of course, Iran. I would like to hear from you guys. If you guys know how it's supposed to be pronounced, I'd love to hear from you. The phone line is open, 407-270-3044. Once again, that is 407-270-3044. All right, so a lot of you guys are in the chat room. I do have a guest coming up. I got KM. But yeah, they are. Oh, hold on. Give me 1 second, Foz. I got KM Woods. KM Woods, he's an author. He's going to join me at 7:30. So, KM, hope you can make it. So, Fozzie says, you can't tell me those soccer players aren't getting concussed constantly leading with their heads. They are. And Fozzie, if you will, is pronounced You know what, Fozzie? I'm just going to leave that one up there. People can read it. I'm not going to read it per se, but I'm not scared to put it up there. Did I talk last week? Did I talk about the no legs basketball player? Anybody help me out? Did I talk about the no legs basketball player? I don't know. Here, you know what? Maybe I will just put it up and let's see if it comes up and it kind of like rings a bell. So I got four stories: banned books, dismembered girlfriend, DUI, no arrest, no legs basketball. So if any of you guys are listening right now, tell me. DR lost you on Twitch. Oh, so I did play no leg basketball. Did I play? You know what? Anyways, I'll move on. So there's also another thing that I want to talk about. DR coming in with $5 super sticker. Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh yeah, let's talk about my Thanksgiving. So my Thanksgiving this year. Thank you, Fozzie. Thank you. You got me completely on something that I can talk about for a while before my guest gets on. A lot of people don't know this, that, all right, so Thanksgiving falls on every third Thursday of every November. So every third Thursday of November, Thanksgiving happens. Now, this is something that I've had to deal with a lot in my life, and it wasn't until later on that I realized how shitty it was. My birthday is November 24th. So 11/24, my birthday happened every 4 years. My birthday will fall on Thanksgiving every 4 to 5 years, depending, you know, you got to take into account that, you know, leap years, leap days, whatever it is that, so it's like every 4 or 5 years that my birthday falls on Thanksgiving. Now, that did happen this year. And I gotta tell you, kind of sucked. It really, really sucked. Because, you know, my dad just died back in 2021. And this is like every holiday, it just reminds me of my pops, and then my pops, and then I had my birthday, and then it was on Thanksgiving. And this is also the first year in about, well, this is the first year since 2014 that I did not go over to my friend Lennon Murphy's house. Lennon Murphy is a, hold on, ah. My boys are getting all jumbled up in my shorts. Got a very uncomfortable chair here. But I always go to Lennon Murphy's house every single year. And I did that. And I did not do that this year. And it was my birthday. So I did that, guys. I went over and I went over to my parents' house, or not my parents, but my mom's friend's house. I went over there, and it was another retired community. Look, guys, I know that I'm older. I'm 43 now. I just turned 43. And that's what I did. I hung out at a retirement community. Once again, that is exactly what I did. I did that. Hold on. What's Fozzie saying? You're an old timer now. The boys are hanging in a couple of avocados in a sack. It is, because I don't wear underwear and it sucks. I know I should wear them. They are kind of like getting all over the place. Hold on. Let me get them all like situated here a little bit. Here we go. Oh. All you got to do is let gravity do the work. I am. Oh, hey, what up, Vulture? Vulture says my hair is on fleek. So, like, I did that, hung out Thanksgiving. Oh, my producer, Vulture, he got me the... Vulture, what is the name of it? I can't think off the top of my head. What is it? It's the total something. I've been working out with it. The total... Oh, here it is. Guys, Google this. The Total Gym Elite Plus. Total Gym Elite Plus. A lot of you guys are going to think, oh, this is just another gimmicked like a little gimmicked up like workout thing. No, it's not. I got to tell you, like, if I'm being honest, like, this is, here, you know what? I'll pose down for you a little bit. I don't know how much I can get, but I'm telling you right now, I am the strongest that I have ever been. And I do, like, I want to get on the mat. I want to, like, start, like, maybe fighting some people. Because I am, look, forearms looking good. I think the arms, there we go. I think I'm looking pretty rugged. I really don't give a fuck what any of you guys think. Like, I'm ready to take on some people. I am. And I'm telling you right now, Vulture, like, if you're watching, if this guy does not show up, I'm giving him until 32 after. I'm giving him, like, 32. 7:32, if he doesn't show up, I'm ready. But, like, I've been working this thing. I got the Apple Watch all set up. Like, I'm already ahead on my calories, my daily calories burn. I'm telling you guys, look out. Look out. Just look out. I'm ready. Fozzie, if you would, like, Fozzie, you think I'm bullshitting you? Fozzie, how badass would it be? Because you know, like, these fighting organizations, you need a good valet. Fozzie, if I'm being honest, you know what you would be perfect at, Fozzie? Being my valet. Fozzie, could you imagine, like, if I, like, really got into the MMA and then you, Tuttle, I got the Aura ring now. I like it better than the Apple Watch. What, Higgy, can I text you after the show to kind of, I want to hear a little bit more. But Fozzie, if I started training Fozzie to get into mixed martial arts fighting, would you be like my valet? Like, I'm not talking my ring person, but just my hype man. My hype man that is... just going to talk shit to everybody. Oh, you would be my Miss Elizabeth. Okay. I mean, I'm completely down for that, Foz. So you're like, Foz, I got your number and stuff. I know that we can easily work this out. Because, like, I mean, isn't that what all it's all about, right? It's all about just working the gimmick, and I know that, well, maybe MMA and stuff is rigged, who knows, but even if it isn't, I gotta respect, like, all these dudes that go in, and they're just like, you know what, I'm gonna talk all this shit in the world, but I'm still going to get up there, and I'm gonna give them a good fight physically, I'm not going to get embarrassed or anything, but guess what? I'm going to go into it, and we're going to make it like it's WWE wrestling all day. I really think that that is some of the smartest stuff that you could ever think of. I think I had a phone call coming in here. Let's see what it is. I hope this is Foz. Hold on. Boom, boom, boom. Hey, Foz. Hello?
Guess what? I'm not going.
Hey, Foz.
What's up, Tornado Title? Tornado Title. They're going to...
So would you get into it? Like if I...
Go ahead.
If I did some MMA and you wanted to be my valet or just be my hype man, would you be down for that?
Let me talk to you. Tuttle, flyweight division champion, weighing in at 159. Yeah, let me talk to you. You're ten and one, and then fighting women on Bubba the Love Sponge show. Is that right?
Well, for Bubba,
it doesn't matter if you're 11-1 on the Bubba the Love Sponge show. You're going to be the champion, Tuttle. Write it down. Write it down. I got to go. I know you got.
Pause. Can I ask you though? Can you give me? I'm at 172 right now. You said 159. You know, Patty the Batty, you know, that guy from Liverpool that's always fighting all the time. I think
he's
I could
a
get
pussy.
You
yeah.
Think, yes. You could I get down to 159, you think? Could you get me down there?
Let me talk to you. Tuttle, you can get down to 159. You get your push-ups, your regimen. You know you got it down. Me and you will get together on the weekends after you do your Monday, Wednesday, and Friday show. Yeah! Tuttle, you're going to be champion, kid. I'm going to let you go. Eat your vitamins tonight. We're going to get started.
All right.
Manana.
All right, man. See you,
yeah.
Buddy. All right, bye. All right, I got my guest. Hey, KM. How are you, KM?
How are you, Tuttle? I'm doing good, brother.
So is it KM? What's the K? Is it Kyle? Kenny?
It's Kyle.
Kyle.
Yeah.
That's what
KM's the pen name.
So Kyle, how are you, Kyle?
I'm doing good, Tuttle. How are you?
You want to be honest? I actually have been really, really excited about this interview because Kyle, KM, I like to go into interviews knowing the least that I could know and be able to still do the interview. And you want to be honest, because I think most of the interviews you see on TV and stuff are so pre-produced. Like somebody will go in and talk to the guest, get and ask them questions and stuff. I've always liked my interviews just to be like two people meeting for the first time.
You get something a little more genuine, a little more organic with that way.
Yes, exactly. So, Kyle, what I like to do when I bring guests on is I like to ask them, give them the floor. Because I my producer sent me all the information about you, but I'm not going to be able to promote the content that you're putting out as well as you are. So I like to give my guests the floor to be able to just talk a little bit about themselves and talk about what they're coming on the show and talking about.
Man, that's your first mistake, brother.
Why? Because you're going to talk a little too long?
Oh, I'm going to talk forever, dude.
Well, have at it.
Sure. Yeah. So my pen name is KM Woods. I have a book coming out on December 13th, but you can order it now on Amazon. It is a YA crime novel about an orphan who gets adopted by the mafia in New Orleans. And the reasoning that they're adopting him is to be learned by the reader, but that's the gist of the plot.
Kyle, So when I read the basics of it, I was a big fan of the Peaky Blinders. The Peaky Blinders came out, but I also grew up in the South, okay? I am a Florida cracker, per se. A lot of people, now, Kyle, let me ask you. So a lot of guests that I have on, when I call myself a Florida cracker, they're like, oh, you're being racist or you're, you know, trying to be shocking or anything. But when you say that the South kind of has a subgenre per se between regions in the Southeast?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I have some Florida crackers in my family.
Oh, you do? Okay. You know, so
they live right there on the Redneck Riviera, like close to the Alabama border.
Yeah.
Pensacola, that general area.
So why?
I'm from the South too. So you
what
know,
part?
I'm from right around New Orleans. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the suburbs around there, but yeah, there's, you know, the South is just a little bit different than everywhere else, man.
So growing up, how old of a guy are you, Kyle?
I am 30 years old on the nose.
So 30 years old on the nose. I just turned 43 on Thanksgiving, actually, November 24th. So,
oh, happy birthday, man.
Thank you, man. But, like, so generationally, I mean, I was a Gen Xer, so would you be a millennial or a Gen Z, or what would you consider yourself?
I think I technically classify as a millennial, but I like to think of myself as one of the remaining, like, George Carlinites that still exist.
What?
You know?
Oh, see, now I have a lot of ADHD, and I'm going to jump all over the place. I absolutely loved his HBO documentary that they did. Did you watch it?
I watched half of it. I've been so busy with, you know, everything going on with the release of the book and, you know, 10 million other things, but I did watch half of it. But I've seen a good chunk of his specials, and I saw half the documentary. Mm. I've also read his daughter's book about him. So yeah, I know a good bit about Carlin.
Wait, did you, you know, one of the things that I, after watching it, that I admired the most is the way that he was able to adapt to the trends. You see what I'm saying? Like, he was not an artist that was not afraid to change his mind about the way he looked, because there were so many times in his career that he changed.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it kind of speaks to the depth of his art, like the way he kind of developed as a comedian, just because he changed his identity so many times. And even after doing that, he still managed to rise to the top every time he changed. Like he still managed to capture a new audience or to expand on the one he already had. So if you listen to like Carlin from his really early days, it almost sounds like a completely different person than, you know, that 80-year-old that was ranting about, you know, the political problems in the country. It's very different stand up, but the way that he retained that audience is it's admirable, to say the least. It's impressive beyond belief. I've always been amazed by that. I've never quite understood it either, because I think that takes a lot of courage to change your identity completely. But it's like watching Carlin do it, you almost think it's like a necessity in a way.
So growing up, you are a creative person, you're an artist, you're a writer and stuff. So at an early age, you know, like growing up in the South, we talked about that. When you grow up in the South, because growing up, I've done radio broadcasting, you know, like right out of high school, and I've been doing that for like 20 years. And my family came from a hardworking family where they're like, when are you going to take your life serious? When are you going to get a job that you can support a family or start a family and stuff like that? Did you go through any of that?
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. Whew. Yeah. There was some rough patches, especially when I was deciding that like I wanted to go in the creative direction. Because I think just growing up in the South, the idea of doing anything creative was always kind of frowned upon or immediately looked on as a hobby. So when I...
Man,
you know,
that hits hard. You saying the word hobby, like that, I mean, that does that. I mean, that's kind of like that hits me right in the heart a little bit, because it's kind of, I've gotten that. I've gotten that from the people I've dated or mom and dad, or I'm an only child. So I don't have any brothers or sisters that are going to judge me, but like I've always felt like, oh, he's not taking life serious.
Oh yeah. I mean, I have two brothers, and to be compared to them side by side is sometimes really challenging, because they did not go in creative directions at all. And, you know, a lot of the time you'll get that look from family members that, you know, they're looking at your brothers like, come on, your younger brothers are, you know, they got their head on straight while you keep doing all this writing stuff, mm-hmm. or you're performing in theater plays, or you're doing stand up, like you're, mm-hmm. you know, different creative pursuits. They're looking at it like, why are you wasting your time with that stuff?
What's your personal life like? Like, have you, you know, as I gotta say, though, being the artistic type person in the family, you do meet some pretty, like, interesting significant others that you might be interested in and stuff. So, like, has that happened, like, many times in your life? Because I gotta tell you, I was married for about 10 years, and I gotta tell you, I wouldn't have met some of the most interesting women that I've met in my life, or whatever anybody is into, per se, because of what I did. Have you, like, found that at all?
Oh, yeah. Plenty of interesting women, especially, like, I was in theater for a long time, and mm-hmm. That brought on a slew of women that always kept life interesting, no doubt. To say that I haven't had plates of food thrown at me with high speed velocity would not be true.
Have you?
There's also
been married?
You know, really deep. I'm engaged right now. I'm actually engaged to another artist, photographer.
Wait,
but she's never thrown food at me, at least not yet. So
she's a photographer, and you're a writer and stuff. Now, I've always. Like, I've dated creative types through my life and everything. And, you know, I've done broadcasting, podcasting, TV, whatever it may be. Are you ever worried where, like, maybe you might do better than her, or she might do better than you, and there might be, like, some type of jealousy there at all, or no?
I've had that with other creative women that I've dated, but
somebody said you look like Jude Law. Somebody in the chat room said you look like Jude Law.
That's very flattering. I appreciate that. I've gotten way worse.
What's the worst you've gotten then?
Hard to think about.
By the way, you got a great microphone set up, by the way. I don't get a lot of people coming on that the audio is sounding as well as it is. So we'll move on to that. So creative type, has that ever become a problem?
In my current relationship, no. Because I think this is the first relationship where it's like the weight of the relationship is more important than anything mm-hmm. creatively I'll be doing. But with past relationships that were, you know, where I was involved with creatives, because, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but generally I was just more committed to whatever the art was.
Yeah.
You know, I learned pretty early on that you got to kind of leave ego at the door.
Oh, you have to, because when you first go into it, you don't know that, and your ego takes a big hit. It does.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of artists, you know, they'll kind of run away with that feeling of, you know, I feel really important because I'm doing this. Mm. And a lot of the women I dated, it was kind of the same story. But I, you know, to me, it's all about the work. I enjoy the creative part of, you know, putting it together and sharing it.
All right. I'm gonna get back into the artwork that you're one to promote and everything. So, but a lot of the creative types, they experiment with maybe psychedelics, drugs, or anything like that. Have you ever like dabbled? Because I have. I got it. Growing up in Central Florida, we had a big dance scene, so we had the whole psychedelics, mushrooms. Ecstasy, you know, stuff like that. you know, as a writer, like, is there, like, in that writing scene, like, you know, you experiment with, like, some mind-altering substances or anything like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've done mushrooms 3 times, and I can definitively say that each time I did them, it taught me more about myself than pretty much anything has.
Yeah. Have you dealt with any depression, mental illness stuff? Because I have. Like, I spent like 11 days in a institution and stuff. And, you know, like, sometimes I feel like writers and stuff, they think, oh, it's a cool thing. It's a cool thing to say that, you know, like, I deal with mental illness, kind of like Vincent Van Gogh, and I try to cut my ear off and stuff. You know, but, like, I mean, you know, when you look at the creative types and stuff, they've gone through some things and they self-medicate and everything like that. Do you think that's something true? Do you think that's something that just gets maybe used as a crutch, maybe?
I think it can grow to the point where it becomes romantic to think about it. I suffered with a lot of depression when I was really young, like just kind of starting in the art world. But the mushroom trip, you know, was a pivotal turn in that.
I've heard it's great for depression.
The trip was so bad. Like, the trip itself was so terrifying that I knew coming out of it that I needed to make a big change. And once I made the right changes that I knew I was avoiding, the things I knew I needed to change, things got a lot better. I'm not saying you don't have bad days and that, you know, certain waves of depression won't kind of rush on you, but nothing as deep as it was. Like, I was pretty close to rock bottom, you know, when I had that experience.
Were you experimenting because of any trauma? I mean, I've had tons of trauma. I think everybody's had trauma growing up. I mean,
yeah, I think most addiction is tied to trauma. And I was doing the drug in a wrong way. Cause like I did mushrooms before and it was great. But then when I returned to them and had that really bad trip, I was doing them in the way of like trying to get a release.
Mm-hmm.
And mushrooms don't exactly work like that. It's more like you're going to have an experience whether you want to or not. So I think it took a very sharp turn after that bad trip. That bad trip was one of the most important experiences that ever happened to me because.
But yeah, was like it a wake up call?
Oh, big time. Like a very big wake up call. And, you know, it was the first time. I had started to take like a lot of independence for myself, but I wasn't taking responsibility for myself. And once I had that bad trip, I knew that if I was going to take the beliefs and the dreams that I took seriously, if I was going to take those seriously, I had to start by actually taking my life seriously. Like,
so
incorporating them into everyday practices.
So Kyle, the book, this is a 2-part question. Okay, so tell my audience where they can find this. And number two, I wanted to ask, so you got this book. Is there going to be a book on tape available? And who is going to voice it? All right, like, are you going to voice it, or have you had anybody in mind? And if you like, could pick one celebrity to voice your book, who would it be?
There is going to be a book on tape. Ideally, it'll be available early next year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more than likely going to do the recording, but if that's I got good. To choose somebody to do it, I think it would be either Joe Pesci or Daniel Day-Lewis.
Wow. Oh, wow. I'm just saying right now, look, both great actors. I love Pesci, but like if I was going to get anybody, like, I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis, like, I'm sorry. Like, I mean, do you want my milkshake? You know, like there's I mean, there's so many like Daniel Day-Lewis. I mean, you know, from Gangs of New York or like any of those, There Will Be Blood. There's, I mean, but also, I always get it mixed up. The guy from True Romance. You remember that movie, True Romance? The one that played. What was
Christopher Walken?
Oh, no. See, you know what? I'm going to have to look this up now. And now I'm going to kick myself in the ass that I don't remember the guy's name. But he played Gary Oldman. Gary Oldman. Like,
oh, yeah.
You remember
he
played.
Could do it, too, if he was interested.
Oh, yeah. But, all right.
My team and I would, you know, we'd talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. So, Kyle, before I let you go, tell my audience how they can find any of the content and stuff. Got a website, how they can order the book, whatever it may be. The floor is yours, my friend.
Sure. So the book is called A Scourge of Innocence. If you type that into Amazon, that'll be the most efficient and cheapest way to get it. You can also get it at my website, which is kmwoodsauthor.com. And then the book also has a site dedicated to it called warorphanbook.com because it's the first book of a trilogy. It's called the War Orphan Trilogy.
I love trilogies.
A Scourge of Innocence.
Favorite trilogy?
My favorite trilogy is...
Back to the Future for me.
Oh, that's a good one.
I mean, you can't go wrong with Star Wars either, but I'm just saying, like, Back to the Future is a great trilogy. I'm sorry.
You know, I think the Batman trilogy that Chris Nolan did.
Oh, the Chris Nolan? That's good.
Or the Spider-Man trilogy, the original.
The original? All right, so let me ask you, did you think the third that Sam Raimi did, like, kind of ruined? Because the first and the second one was really, really good, but that third one, they just seemed like they tried to fit too many villains into that third, out of that Sam Raimi trilogy, in my opinion.
So I did think that, and then I recently rewatched it, and it's got so much cheesy humor. Like the narrative itself is a bit all over the place.
Well, okay. But, who played the original Spider-Man?
Tobey Maguire.
Tobey Maguire, like bad Toby. You know, when he went with
emo
the dark
Toby.
Hair. Yeah, emo Toby when he was like a dick and everything. I was one of my favorite characters out of
I
all
I think
them.
That's the thing is, like, after rewatching, I was like, you know, this movie doesn't exactly fit with the first two because they're so well done, mm-hmm. but it's entertaining beyond belief. And it's entertaining than most new Marvel movies are. So that's that's where I gave it. It got more points. It, like, aged well.
Let's be honest, The Evil Dead, if we're talking about Sam Raimi, The Evil Dead trilogy was really, really good as well, too. I mean, you had Army of Darkness in the first two Evil Dead movies. Oh, I mean, that was brilliant.
Yeah, and, you know, it also embodied that kind of wacky Sam Raimi that we ended up seeing in Spider-Man 3. I think he showed hints of that in the original Evil Dead trilogy.
Yeah. All right, Kyle, listen, man, I really enjoyed this. I mean, was it a painful interview to do or no?
Not at all, man. Compared to most of the talks I've had today, this is probably up there in the best.
Well, good. So. Well, I need to find out who did the better so I can, like, try to, like, study them. So,
my fiance and I.
Well, hey, Kyle, once again, before I let you go, tell my audience how they can check out the book.
Yeah, the book is A Scourge of Innocence, book one of the War Orphan Trilogy, and you can find it at Amazon, Scourge of Innocence, kmwoodsauthor.com, or warorphanbook.com.
All right, Kyle, man, you're more than welcome to come on the show anytime. If you could email me your contact and stuff, Tuttle, T-U-D-D-L-E @gmail.com. I'll send you my contact, and if you ever need me to help you promote anything, you're more than welcome to come on, all right?
Thank you, Tuttle. It was great.
All right.
I appreciate it, man.
All right, man. Have a wonderful night. All right, guys. I'm going to get out of here. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed tonight's show. Hopefully, you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.